Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. My name is Priscilla Leona, and I am producer and host of Question Reality. And we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Now, for 9 years, we have been ranked the number one entertainment career advice internet radio show worldwide. Now, this show is for you if you are considering your career reality, either by currently pursuing or considering a career in the entertainment industry. And the guest on this show will provide you with advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in a wide variety of show business jobs. Now, some of the guests on this show include Emmy winners, Grammy winners, Tony Award winners, reality TV stars, producers, directors, casting directors, talent managers, agents, screenwriters, actors, singers, songwriters, comedians, novelists, and stunt people. And once in a while, we throw in an entertainment attorney, which is what we have on the show today. Now, what's special about this show is that all of our guests have been selected because they're at different stages of their careers, obviously from celebrity status to professional. And then once in a while, we bring on the novice or the beginner. And that means that we'll definitely have someone on the show who'll be able to answer all of your show business career questions. Now, if you missed any of the shows or you want to seek advice about a specific entertainment career, go to our archive page on the latalkradio.com website and search for our show title, Question Reality, or my name, Priscilla Leona, and you can download any interview 24 hours a day. All of the Question Reality shows are also available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher.com under the podcast section. And please make sure that you get our newly designed free app, which is on the homepage of the latalkradio.com website. It's located towards the bottom on the right-hand side. Finally, if you want to be a guest, we are currently booking for 2018. As you know, our shows are always booked 6 months in advance, so I highly suggest you get on the website, the official website, questionrealityradioshow.com, not latalkradio.com, questionrealityradioshow.com, and you click the contact link. And you can come on and you can promote yourself, your product, help listeners with your sage career advice. We're currently booking, so we would love to have you submit. It is never too late. Oh my God. Now, today, First Albert is here with us today. Yes. Oh my God. There goes the applause. The applause track. I love that. I love tacky things. So that is just right up my alley. As you know, Albert is the better half. He is a software developer at an energy company. Hey, that's not a gong. That's an applause. He's a software developer at an energy company by day and a wonderful jazz musician at night on the weekends. Go to albertbyko.com and YouTube to watch him in action. He's fantastic. He really is. If you like jazz, then you know I'm not a jazz person, but he's a great jazz musician. And speaking of entertainment attorneys, we have a hot little sexy in our room today. Ladies, he's a honey. And he's an entertainment attorney. I think he's the first hot entertainment attorney I've ever seen, I'll be honest with you. And he's from the Midwest. What more could you ask for? His name is Kevin Mills, and he... Yes? Thank you. Mr. Kevin Mills. And Kevin held senior business affairs positions with several studios, including Republic Pictures Corporation, Independent Artist Company, Hal Roach Studios, and Hallmark Entertainment. And while he was at Republic Pictures, he was instrumental in recapturing the copyright to what is my favorite Christmas movie of all time? It's A Wonderful Life. Oh my God. I think I've seen that maybe 75 times in my life, if not more. We just recently had John Blake Barrymore on the show. And do you know that I completely forgot to get him to do his grandfather's impersonation? And after the show ended, he does the impersonation. I'm like, damn, damn, damn. So I'm bringing him back on the show next year, if only to get that impersonation of his grandfather from, he does the whole scene from It's a Wonderful Life. Which previously, It's a Wonderful Life, which had been widely distributed as a work in the public domain. And he's also headed up all licensing. And over the past 20 years, his practice has encompassed all aspects of talent and artist representation, financing, production, and distribution of the entertainment product in the areas of film, feature film, that is, television, and new media. And nobody understands new media. Everybody's just crazy when it comes to new media. It's just so new. So many questions. And he has extensive experience in international television and film distribution, as well as general business transaction. And he represents different types of businesses, both large and small, including a significant number of startup companies. Internet, computer, and digital rights matters are important aspects to his practice in both the general corporate and entertainment fields, as brand exploitation and protection has assumed an increasingly significant role in recent years. And you know that really there, I don't even know if people have any written laws for intellectual property or the internet. It's just crazy. And the judges and the law firms that are not familiar with it, oh, it drives them insane. Oh, that's another matter. Well, hopefully Kevin can clear it up for us. So without further ado, welcome Mr. Kevin Mills.
Come on the show, and the first thing would happen is I would be blushing.
So. Oh my God! Well, you should be blushing. Now, Albert, put that a little closer to Kevin's mouth so we can get that sexy voice all up there. I heard a little glitch. Is that okay? I heard something pop. Little pop. Talk in there, Kev. Let me hear. Let me see if I hear you. Can you hear yourself? Okay. It might be my earphones are not good. So, well, you should blush because you are a very attractive man. Now, we're going to talk to Kevin, and hopefully he can clear up all of, at least some of the basic, Albert's taking pictures, some of the basic questions that we have in regards to entertainment. So we're going to talk to him real quick. But first, I want to thank Joe Estevez, the brother of Martin Sheen and uncle to Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen, who came on my show a couple of weeks ago. We love Joe Estevez. We love him. He's coming back to promote his movie opposite William Shatner and Christopher Lloyd. It's a romantic comedy called Senior Moment. Are you going to be watching that?
Sure,
Kevin Mills, Senior
Absolutely.
Moment. Check out the website, SeniorMomentMovie.com. And again, he's a fantastic guest. He stars very heavily opposite William Shatner and Christopher Lloyd. He is fantastic. So please check that out. Also, I want to put a shout out to Erin Leah Martin. Oh my gosh, she's a writer and a blogger for the hit reality TV website, realityt.com. I don't know about you, Kevin. I am a huge reality television show fanatic. There's probably not one except Duck Dynasty that I don't watch. But you can also watch Erin. You can catch her on the Jenny McCarthy Show weekly on Sirius XM. She is hysterically funny. I started reading her column because I love the reality show 90 Day Fiancé. Yes, I do. It's one of my favorites. These people are so crazy. They are insane. They body check each other. Oh, just watch it. I just highly recommend you watch it. Well, anyway, I went to reality TV to get a recap, and I started reading her column. And I am not a hearty laugher, Kevin. I am not a person who just laughs just to laugh. And I had tears coming out of my eyes, didn't I, Albert? I was just rolling. I said, she is so brilliant. And it's very hard to find someone that writes and can write very brilliantly and do original material. Like, she's so funny. But anyway, she is hysterical. Check her out. Her name is Erin Leah Martin, or Erin M, on realitytv.com. And she just started her own show called Pink Shade. And it's the source for, of course, all reality TV housewives. And she does a deep dive into the world of cults. So I am all over that, because who doesn't want to keep up in the world of cults? I don't know. So the premiere can be heard on Podbean, iTunes, and Stitcher.com. And you can follow her at Erin Leah Martin. Very lastly, want to thank the elite panel that I had on this radio show recently. Veteran casting director, huge in this business, Gary Zuckerbrod. Alan Hooper, who currently casts for Modern Family. They just got a two-year renewal. So yay, if you're a fan of Modern Family, just giving you a little scoop. And Jason Kennedy, who is adorable. I love this man. He's the casting director for NCIS New Orleans, I think Los Angeles, and the regular one. I think he cast for all three, but I definitely know Los Angeles for sure. And Asia Rae Coleman, who is an author and actress and writes a column on Deadline. And David Lawrence, who has been in the biz. David Lawrence, the 17th. I got to make sure I put the 17th on there. And again, they want you to help support casting director workshops, which, as you know, have been under fire lately. They've been arresting casting directors right and left. Sometimes the casting directors don't have enough money to actually pay their legal fees, so they end up in plea deals, and it just ends bad for everyone. So casting director shops are very, very important. The legitimate ones, now I'm not saying there aren't scams and frauds out there, but most of them are legitimate. So please Google that and support casting director workshops. We're back to Kevin. Have you heard that, Kevin, about the, you know, all the casting directors being rounded up by the I guess, local law enforcement based on...
I know some individuals.
I can't. Albert, fix his mic, please. He's not coming through. Bend it down. Okay. That's probably what... Give... so I'll sing Silver Bells while... I'll be singing Silver Bells while we adjust this mic. It just completely came out of the socket. There you go. How's that? Okay, that's not working at all. So we got another one. Ronan, to the rescue. Oh, my gosh. Thank you, Ronan. Let's see if that works. Let's see, Kevin.
Okay.
Woo! There you go.
World of difference.
Perfect. Oh, my God. If it wasn't for Ronan, we don't know what we would have done. Thank you, Mr. Ronan. So what were you saying? Have you heard about the casting director workshops and them arresting all the...
No, not as a movement, but I know individual people that have had some, you know, run-in with the law. But I think the important thing is that before you take part in that, you know, if you're somebody new in town coming out to be an actor, you have to do your due diligence to find out what is a real...
That's right.
Yeah, which is a real opportunity, and which one is a scam.
Right.
So if you're recommended to a certain casting director through a program that you're taking, acting class that you're taking, then, you know, you can rely on the expertise of your acting coach and, you know, do it that way.
Yeah, because you do have to do research, because not all of these casting director workshops are legitimate, but again, most are. And you want to look up the casting director, look up their credits on imdb.com, make sure they are A-list legitimate casting directors.
Okay. And it's something entirely different for kids.
You know,
it's been something that's been out there for a while, people taking advantage of the parents' eagerness to have their child...
Yeah.
As a movie star.
Oh, that is so true. You have given me a whole show. I'm going to do a whole show about that next year. That is a wonderful opportunity to bring people on, mothers maybe, to give tips about what's been happening in their world. Oh, that's great.
Commercials and modeling.
Thank you. I am going to bring people on. Oh, see that? If anybody's listening, you want to come on and talk about that, there you go. Now, Kevin, from what I understand, there are three basic types of entertainment attorneys, at least in regard to film and television. There are talent lawyers, which represent writers, directors, actors, etc. There are production lawyers, who typically represent producers during all phases of development, like development, finance, and production and distribution. And then there are in-house lawyers who work at like HBO, Sony, Lionsgate, etc. And of course, litigators. Is that true? Can you narrow it down? Because people seem to think there's like 14,000 different types of lawyers in entertainment. There's not, just three, right? Is that right?
Three. I would include the litigators as a separate class. So I would say four.
Okay. Oh.
Because most of the people that represent talent, most of the people that represent producers are not going into the courtroom and defending them in the courtroom. That they usually refer that out to a specialist.
Oh, interesting.
But my practice would encompass both two of those categories, representing the producer and also the in-house counsel. Because even though I'm not employed by a studio, I do serve in that capacity for independent producers. So an independent producer who wants to form a new company or to take care of some corporate aspect to their activities, I'll take care of that for them. So general corporate law as well as the intellectual property and entertainment practice.
You know, a lot of people ask me, they say, why do I need an entertainment attorney if I have an agent? And typically, agents do what's called shop in the business. It's called shop. They shop the client to make the sale of pre-existing work or find the talent a writing position. Then the entertainment attorney will paper the deal and make sure that the written agreement reflects the points agreed upon in the drafting and the negotiating the deal points that are not addressed in the agent's, deal. Is that right?
Right.
Because a lot of people get confused. They don't want to hire an entertainment attorney. They think the agent's going to do everything.
Well, I take a holistic approach to it. And you have the agent, you have the attorney, you have the manager, which can play a very important part in the whole team effort working mm-hmm. on behalf of the client. And sometimes you have a business manager as part of the mix as well. So it's different for each deal. In some cases, the attorney will take the lead in negotiating an agreement. The agent usually is always the one looking for the jobs, but occasionally it comes in through the manager or the attorney. So each party has a special expertise to offer their client. And you'll find that it's different today. Today you'll find that most people have multiple representation.
A team, which is
exactly.
So important.
Even the big guys.
Everybody should have a team. Even if you're just starting out, you can have your mom as a team and a brother or sister and a friend. It's a team. If they believe in you and they want to help you and support you and they think you got talent, you need a team. You cannot do it all yourself. A lot of times, Kevin, what happens is that I'm going to call, for purposes of the show, I'm going to call everybody talent, whether a writer, an actor, because Kevin encompasses every type of talent. So we're going to include writers and directors and producers and singers and so on, everybody. So most of the time, talent, they seem to think that they just want to focus on their craft, which is their art, and they don't need to worry about anything else. It's like they live in a field of dreams. If they build it, it will come. But it's not just working on your craft. You have to worry about the business. It's called show business, not show craft, show art. And that's why you need all of these people as a team on your side.
Right, now, as advisors.
Yeah, you
now,
do.
Yeah, so it's important that the person, the talent, have the ability to make the final decision.
Exactly.
So you have to listen to the advice that's given to you by the different representatives and you know, people who are working on your behalf. Ultimately, though, it's up to the talent to make the
Lord
final
knows.
Decision.
Oh, Kevin, honey, you don't want to have the talent make the decision all the time. Some of them can do it. Sometimes they can't, I tell you.
Now, well, I have to say that for political reasons.
Thank you, and thank you very much. That's true. Now, question for you here. It's amazing
yes.
how many emails I got when they found out that you were coming on. And one of them was from Linda in Downey. And she said, now, I don't know if we're going to... Okay, I'm going to just... I think you already covered this, but she asked, what does an entertainment attorney do? And I think we covered that. They do contracts, negotiations for the talent. What else can we add to that?
Well, remember when we were talking about the 1, 2, 3?
Yeah.
So it depends on what role you're playing as the entertainment attorney. For talent, though, the role is to make sure that, you know, a year from now, there's not a clause in the agreement that really trips up the client. So if you're a writer, you want to be certain that if the rights are purchased to the script in the option purchase agreement, that if the picture is not made for 3 years, then those rights come back to the author. Because you don't want 3 years down the road to be able to find another opportunity for the script to go back to the person who originally optioned the script. And you find out there's nothing you can do. You don't control the rights. The rights never come back to you at any point. So my biggest job, my biggest fear in what I do is making sure that there isn't some mistake that shows that its ugly head several years down the road.
Oh my God, I think I would be hopped up on drugs all the time if I were an entertainment
Well, those
attorney.
Help, yes.
Because, I mean, you got to worry all the time. Oh my God, because if you mess up and they get sued, you're going to get sued, I would imagine. I don't know. I guess you have that all worked out on your end, but woo, I'd be a nervous wreck. Can you explain what an average, can you explain the world on an average day of an entertainment attorney? Just you go in, what happens in there? Because people think that all you do is golf. Golf and hire hookers. No, I'm
golf and, and tennis.
Yes, golf, tennis, and hookers.
Better at tennis.
What happens?
The really interesting thing about my job is that when I walk into the office in the morning, I don't really know what will happen. That a large part of what I do is dictated by what my client is out doing. And so if my client is, working on an opportunity where they're putting together an animation project, then by the end of the day, I may be working on putting together a co-production deal with an animation studio in Canada where you're trying to make sure that the studio in Canada is able to take advantage of all the tax credits and production incentives that are available in that territory. But you might not know that at the beginning of the day. So there are certain things that, you know, Sunday night usually, instead of being here, I would normally be home making a list of things that, you know, I need to accomplish during the
Somebody's
week.
Somebody's going to suffer tomorrow, one of his clients, and I'm going to get sued for bringing him in here. I'm distracting him. Well, what would you say is the biggest misconception about entertainment attorneys? People are scared of you. They're just scared of entertainment attorneys. Most of all, they're scared of the damn fee. But mostly they're afraid that they'll ask questions that are stupid or that you'll be impatient. Because a lot of attorneys, I don't know, they seem impatient. You do not. You seem very patient. I'm amazed at your focus and your patience. And you seem like you're really interested, and you don't find that a lot with attorneys. I grew up around them. My stepfather is an attorney, and they always act like they got something to do, or you start talking and they cut you off because they just know what you're going to ask. But, you know, what is the biggest misconception about hiring an entertainment attorney?
Two, I would say. One is that we can fix anything.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes the attorney or the client will get themselves involved in a situation or make concessions to a producer or to somebody else, and then expect the attorney to come in and sort of unravel that. And it's very difficult to do that because oftentimes the client doesn't understand all of the ramifications of these so-called casual conversations they might have at a party or something where they make I'll say a soft agreement, but then the other side believes that it's a firm commitment and a firm agreement. So they go off running, thinking they have the authority to do that, and they enter into agreements on their side, which obligate my client. And so when my client finds out about that, they give me a call and say, fix that. That's not what I said. Get out of it. And so it's very difficult to unwind some of these things.
So one of the misconceptions is that they a person may think that you can get them out of, you can renegotiate like a better deal for them, and you can't always. Well, actually, you wouldn't do that, but see, now I'm confused.
Well, okay, so what it boils down to is sometimes a client in the heat of the moment or their eagerness to close a deal, they'll actually make a deal with another party, with a producer or a talent. And then they know that it's not the best deal. And so they'll come to me and say, you know, we need to do better. We need to improve these provisions, or I don't want to agree to this or that. And so I have to go back and try to renegotiate the deal that's already been made by my client. And that's a very difficult situation.
So let's break it down into just three categories. We'll just break it down for, actually, let's do, what is a misconception that an actor would have, a producer would have, a director and a writer separately, just four separate things that they think that you can do for them that you cannot do?
Well, oftentimes I can do it, but it's just...
That's a good answer. Good answer.
But it's some of them are more difficult than others.
Like an actor. Let's take the actor. What if an actor hires you, what do they think that you're going to do for them?
Well, if they agree to be in a picture and then they decide later not to be in that picture, they think that they can walk away from it. And that actually happened in a very famous case called Boxing Helena. And I was involved with that because Republic Pictures, when I was working there, was signed on to distribute that picture. And when the actor decided to back out, the producer said, no, we have a pay or play commitment. We have an agreement. We've entered into all of these agreements with you as the star of the picture, and you can't back out. And she said, no, I can back out. I'm the star. I don't have to do what I don't want to do. And it wound up going to litigation, and it turned out that the actor, could not back out of that commitment without suffering breach of contract consequences.
But wasn't this discussed with her? Wouldn't an actor meet with the attorney and discuss, if I want to get out of this? Well, a smart actor would go, if I want to get out of this picture, how can I get out, or how am I locked in? Do they not have meetings with entertainment attorneys
usually the reason for backing out is more compelling. So a good example of that would be if you agree to be in a low-budget motion picture, and then a studio comes along and offers you a better role during the exact same period of time, so you have a better role with much more money. You don't want to really do the low-budget feature that you had agreed to already.
What would you do?
Well, in the meantime, the low-budget producer has gone out and raised money and hired a crew, and everybody's is on set waiting for the main actor. And so the primary actor might, come to the conclusion, even if they sue me, which they probably won't because it's expensive to go that route, I'll be making so much money in this other role that it's worth it to me. And so... they take the studio role, and the independent producer is left to try to at the last minute find an actor. And oftentimes the agent can be really helpful in terms of mitigating the damage. So if the agent is helpful or maybe a little bit guilty, they might be able to go to their...
maybe they're able to get another actor.
Exactly right.
And fill it in. That's what I would do.
Right. And nobody's particularly happy, but the picture moves ahead and everybody at the end is satisfied.
Okay.
That's happened a lot. That's the flip side for the producer, what the producer is concerned with, because they would want to hire people that they can then go to their investors and report. They have
this A-list actress.
Academy Award-winning cinematographer, the director, the actors. And so you assemble the whole package, and in reliance on that package, people will put their money up and they'll invest their money. And so sometimes the producer is a little over-enthusiastic and makes commitments for people that have not been signed on yet. They've expressed interest. They've read the script. They love it. They have some thoughts on it. And the producer says, great, great, I'll start telling everybody that this actor and the cinematographer is attached, when in fact they're not. And so that's a real problem.
That's happening right now with a friend of mine. And I told her, I said, do not go dropping any names. I mean, shouldn't there be a contract signed before you start dropping names that these actors are in your project? Because a lot of times actors are like, yeah, that sounds great if you reach them directly. But behind the scenes, they might be telling their manager, or their agent, you know, I don't want to do that project. Can you get rid of it?
Exactly.
You know, and sometimes the agent manager forgets, and the producer thinks that they're still that they're really sincerely interested. They're dropping the actor's name all over the place.
Right. And sometimes the contract is, you know, 25, 35 pages long. And so getting that final agreement is a real chore.
Yeah.
So what you would want to do is to have a letter of understanding, something, or a deal memorandum perhaps, where the main points of the deal are written out and agreed to. And once you have that confirmation in writing, then the producers, you know, should be more comfortable in talking about the people that are actually attached to the film.
Oh, it's so complicated, Kevin Mills. It's so complicated. I'm so glad I'm not famous.
if you, not yet, soon.
Soon.
Everybody gets their 15 minutes.
Oh, my Lord. I am happy being a host, talking to, you know, wonderful people like you, finding out all the dirt. I couldn't handle what you do. That seems extremely complicated. And I, and then as an actor, I have a question. All right. When do you know that you're ready to hire an entertainment attorney? Because based on what you've told me and what I know, even when I would take acting 101 class, I'd be on the phone. Okay, I've taken acting 101. I'm ready for an attorney. I'm ready. Where are you? I mean, even though you won't need one at that point, I feel like you should have an entertainment attorney at least on retainer, but it's expensive. The number one thing I hear is, oh, I keep recommending entertainment attorneys. I have lots of friends who are entertainment attorneys, and I try to drum up business for them, and people are like, oh no, they cost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Yes, I would imagine when you get to A-list celebrity status, but you know, when you're first starting out, not everybody can afford an attorney. And that's the number one reason why they don't seek legal representation and they get in trouble. What advice do you have for people that, like, I recommend LegalZoom and like Rocket Lawyer and things like that, which are basic, because if you don't have money, you don't have money. But what advice can you give to people who aren't ready, who aren't at the A-list level yet? What do you do when you need legal representation? What can you do?
Well, the first part of the question is, when do you actually absolutely need
the entertainment attorney? Do you see how sharp Kevin is? He knows that he's already figured me out. He knows I'll ask 20 questions in one sentence, and he has the ability to memorize everyone and go back to the initial one. Now, that's the type of entertainment attorney you want, or any attorney who can remember every single question, because that means he's sharp as a tack. Because if a lot of people, and I have come across lawyers who don't remember what the hell I said the first 20 questions, and they just remember the last one. He is going back to the very first one. No, thank you, Mr.
See,
Kevin.
You're making me blush again.
I'm just telling it like it is. I'm from the East Coast. That's what we do. So go back.
So that you would want to have an entertainment attorney at the time you have a contract. So if somebody presents you with a contract, either a representation agreement or maybe it's a contract for a particular job, you know, you would want an attorney to take a look at that. And even if you have to spend more money than you have, it would be a good idea to make that, you know, investment in yourself.
Can an actor, say you're, you know, you get an opportunity and you were maybe working as a featured actor here and there, a little bit part here, bit part there, and then someone wants to cast you in a lead, say, let's just go small, for a low budget film. Wouldn't that be at the time when you need to sign a contract? Because they're going to make you sign a contract, right, if it's low budget? Because there are different levels, just in case you don't know this, there are different levels of films. There's ultra low, 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 low budget. Then there's low budget. Then there's, I don't even know. There's so many. But when you think of low budget, you think, oh, what's that, like $1,000? Hell no. I think now a low budget is $1 million and up. That's what they consider low budget now. Before it was $1 million and under, but I don't really know what exactly the monetary framework is. But say, for example, a low budget, which would be, you know, $1.5 million or up, and they're going to want you to sign a contract, right?
Right. Now, if you're a lead, then you would want an attorney to take a look at that agreement.
Of course.
Because the lead, the person playing the lead will have a lot of provisions in the agreement regarding your promotion of the film after it's completed, you know, coming back in and doing the voiceover work after principal
photography. And I'm not talking someone who's a well-known actress. I'm talking this is your first big break. This is like the first time you've gotten a lead part. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what Kevin's talking about. You would need an attorney.
Right. Now, if you have an agent, of course, the need isn't as compelling because the agent would be able, you know, they're familiar with the agreement and with the agreement terms. They're familiar with what a producer would normally insist on and what they're asking for without necessarily, you know, the expectation that the attorney.
That's where it gets, why do I need an attorney when I have an agent? I get asked that a lot of times. And now.
But sometimes people hire an attorney when they don't necessarily need it.
Yes.
And they'll do that in order to establish a relationship with the attorney so that.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I think it's a very good thing.
I think it's a good thing. Yeah. You should always have someone. But retainers, how do. A lot of people get confused with the words contingency and retainer, and it gets crazy. And they're too embarrassed. Some people are embarrassed to ask. Can you maybe talk in layman's terms of when you should hire an attorney? Obviously, for contract, but do you need to break your piggy bank open or save? Or what should you be doing before you hire an entertainment attorney? And maybe possibly monetarily wise, but also explain maybe the contingency or pro bono, which I love, but you're not going to find that. But explain that, simplistically.
Okay, the entertainment industry has a special relationship with the attorneys, I would say. And there are many different ways an attorney can get paid. And the most common is to have some sort of percentage involvement in the client's career. So and traditionally, that's been 5%. There are some attorneys that charge less than that. An attorney is willing to take on a client in return for 5% of 100% of their future earnings. So if you're an actor and you get paid $100,000 to appear in a movie, then you would get, you know, $5,000. The attorney would get $5,000. The agent would get $10,000, 10% of the amount. And a manager would get anywhere between 5% and 15%. It's usually 10% at this point. So that's the preferred way of billing. Now the threshold issue, as far as that's concerned, is you need to have a client who's out there working to make it pay off. So a lot of attorneys really won't enter into a client relationship with somebody unless they're referred to them by an agent or a manager. Or a casting director, somebody who they rely on to, you know, send the right people over. So they're not just sending somebody over; they're sending somebody they feel will have an outstanding career in the industry.
So, are you saying that if someone had booked their first role as a lead and they wanted you to just negotiate that particular contract, you wouldn't do it?
I might,
as an entertainment attorney.
I might.
In general.
There are some people who won't.
Some people
who
won't.
My firm has a very liberal billing policy.
Okay. All right.
Another way lawyers are paid is through an hourly basis where you agree, you know, for every hour I spend working on your behalf or portion of an hour, I'll receive, and it can be anywhere, you know, for people starting out, you know, $250 an hour up to $650,000, $700,000 an hour. It's not uncommon for, you know, top attorneys to charge that amount.
Can you get a good amount of work done in 1 hour?
You can.
If you do what? What should you do to be prepared to come into an office, say you're on a budget and you're just starting out, but you know you're going to be a star, you know you're walking that damn red carpet. What can you do? I say be prepared as much as possible, and I would probably maybe email you and say, what can I bring beforehand so we can rock it out in 1 hour?
Right, exactly. Yeah, you have to be careful. And you can ask, but you might not get some assurances that the billing won't go over a certain number of hours.
Yeah.
Or you'll ask for an estimate of what they believe is, you know, would be required in order to take a review of the agreement.
Yeah.
And perhaps, you know, you want to cut into the level of services if you're a newbie, where you have the attorney take a look at the agreement, but not necessarily negotiate it. So you might ask them to please, you know, just tell them what the, you know, the issues are, and then the client will take that information and go back to the person that's offering them the agreement and raise those issues with that person directly, as opposed to having the attorney do it.
Yeah, because so maybe you could email Kevin and say, "Hey, Kevin, I'm going to email you the contract that I got. Can you take a look over it? Can you look it over in 1 hour? Because I'm on a budget, sweetheart. And you know, find that out before you send it over, because then you never know what's going to happen." But that would be an example, right?
Right.
Just email it. Don't waste their time going into their office, because you know how things happen. When they go in the office, they start talking. Next thing you know, it's 3 hours for sure.
Yeah. Our firm certainly does not take everybody that comes in the door. But, I mean, I do understand the difficulties in terms of finding somebody to represent your interests. And so we're not a pro bono law firm. But we are.
What law firm is a pro bono these days? But that went out in the 70s with Gene Rayburn on Match Game.
That's
right.
Doesn't
happen anymore.
But we are willing to make an investment under the right circumstances. We invest in people.
Well,
so
that is very important. Now, you have been working, which is very exciting. You've been working with an accelerator program financed by state and private funds that seeks to develop promising talent in the motion picture, television land, and new media. And I understand that there's been some interesting projects that cross between traditional markets like TV and features, and new markets, internet. Can you tell us about that in layman's terms? I always say that with a lawyer, always, because you know they're too damn intelligent, and they start talking, you'll know what the hell they're saying.
Well, the accelerator is financed by both state and private funds, and the state involved here is the state of Hawaii. So it's a perfect client as far as I'm concerned, because I get to spend a lot of time in Hawaii.
Of course, golfing and tennis. And hookers. No, go ahead. Oh, no, you're married. Sorry about
I am.
That. Sorry.
I forgot what I was going to say. But the The state, of course, has an interest in developing its entertainment infrastructure, but it's interesting enough so that private equity has come in and they're helping to finance the effort as well. And it's a competitive process. Mm. People will submit their proposals for their project, and then the runners of the accelerator program will go through each application and make a determination which are the most promising. And as part of each application, you have to not only list what your primary activity is, but you have to come up with ancillary sources of revenue. Mm. So if you're making a movie, you have to come up with something other than just the movie as an area that you'll be able to develop and make money. So if, for example, one person that wanted to make a motion picture also felt that it would be they would be able to make a comic book based on the characters involved in the movie.
Oh, like if it was a superhero movie, you could make a comic book.
Right,
that would seem good.
In this case, there were a bunch of kids that were out saving the environment and doing something with the beach and the palm trees and making Hawaii a better place to live. And of course, those images could be easily converted into a comic book and sold or given away as a promotional item in order to support the movie.
Wow, I didn't think of that. That's a great idea.
Yeah, producers have to be smart today.
Yeah.
You can't just make money from the actual exhibition of the picture.
You can't.
Well, since the home video revenues diminished, other revenue streams have started to step up, but it hasn't come in at the same level that the home video market has. So people are looking for ways of making money on their movies.
What are some other ways other than something like that with the new media?
Right. Well, there's one project I've been working on, which is a lot of fun. It's called Con Man.
Oh.
And Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion are great guys, and they've come up with a series called Con Man, which is about because the convention man, it doesn't sound as cool.
Yeah,
that's
Con Man.
Tagline. But it's about a guy who was in a science fiction series, Firefly. That was a real
story.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Who did Firefly? Who
was
that
producer? Alan and Nathan were both in
Alan Tudyk and Nathan Fillion.
Right.
Right.
So Nathan went on to greatness.
And they started out with the Indiegogo campaign, right?
Right, exactly.
See that?
So they had a lot of followers, and they went to Indiegogo, and they were hoping to raise enough money to finance the production of a pilot. They wound up raising more money than any other entertainment project on Indiegogo up to that moment.
Wow.
So they raised over $3 million, and they took that money and financed the entire first season. So, and they did. They made 13 episodes between 10 and 12 minutes long, and then they did it entirely on their own. It's really funny stuff.
Two primetime Emmy award nominations.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Oh crap. Oh Lord. All right, we got 5 minutes. Oh my God. What was your role in that? What did you do?
Well, I was involved in that production from the very beginning. It was put together by somebody who had a lot of experience making commercials. And so this was their foray into making more traditional entertainment product. And so it was a perfect marriage. You had the short webisode episodes between 10 and 12 minutes long. And so you needed somebody who could tell a story in a very compact slice of time. And so I helped them with the prizes that are given away and the incentives for the Indiegogo campaign, making sure that
donation perks.
Yeah, making sure that there were no problems as far as that was concerned. And then, negotiating the agreement with with Vimeo, which was the initial broadcaster of it, and later, subsequently, when Lionsgate purchased it for broadcast on their new digital channel, we negotiated that agreement, and Sci-Fi came along later and is now broadcasting it on cable. And so it's really come all the way, and it's paying off. And like you said, it was nominated for Primetime Emmy Awards.
Two Primetime Emmy Award nominated. Well, good. And I understand you're developing a series of video talks on topics of interest for filmmakers that you're going to soon make available for the public. And the subjects include chain of title, optioning rights, working with writers, release agreements, and distribution. That is so important. That's exactly what we tried to cover today.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy doing that. I need to work with, I need to start over again because I didn't pay enough attention to production values. And so.
Gotta have high production value today.
It sounds okay, but it doesn't look so great. So also the other thing that is important is that what I found is you have to break each topic into little tiny pieces because if you talk more than 3 minutes, nobody is going to listen.
One has an attention span.
Right.
Well, so you're going to redo it over, and where will it be seen?
I'm not sure. I'll have to find out.
Talk to me.
It'll be on the website. You'll be able to find it on Facebook.
On what website?
My website, kmills.com.
kmills.com, okay. And your law partner is also a producer-director and of audiobooks and a book she directed, The Princess Diarist by Carrie Fisher, who we love, has been nominated for a Grammy Award.
Yes.
How has that affected your business? Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. She's actually won a Grammy Award before, Jessica Kay.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
She did a comedy. She won Best Comedy recording several years ago with Jonathan Winters, his final comedy album. So that was called Crank Calls.
Crank Calls.
But she's been publishing audiobooks for quite some time. She's her primary area is in publishing law. So she represents a lot of book authors and she has a side business of producing audiobooks.
That is so good to know.
Yeah.
My gosh, I love that because I have lots of people who are writing books and they need that type of law. We're going to talk afterward. And then full circle from Disney's Kids Incorporated, Jennifer Love Hewitt, who we love. Albert used to be obsessed with her.
Fergie
from the Black Guys, Pete, every time you come around my London Bridge, want to come down, right?
Right.
And to Hip Hop Kids, then and now. What are you doing? Ancillary revenue? What are you doing with that?
Right. Well, the merchandising is such a big part of it. We're trying to come up with ideas for a video game so that people can play it on their handheld phones as they are riding the bus or whatever they're engaged in.
Or everybody wants to be an Ashley twin. What
right.
is that?
Right. Well, the Ashley twins were so famous.
Are you talking about Kate, the two little girls that were on Full House?
Right.
Oh,
So they made so much money in clothing and games toys. And so that's
amazing.
That's the golden ring. If you have a product on air that supports, you know, ancillary revenue in the form of merchandising or video sales, downloads, you know, however you can make money off of your, you know, your primary program, then that's the secret. You have to make money lots of different ways. You can't just rely on license revenues from.
It's just overwhelming, isn't it, people? Oh, my God. There goes that darn gong again. All right. I guess that means we have lost. We are at the end of the rainbow. And so tell us in your own words, just in 1 minute, because I got 1 minute, tell us why everybody should flock to K Mills Law Firm.
Because we know what we're doing, and we are interested in our clients. And in the entertainment business, I have found that not everybody is interested in their clients.
Right.
And that's, I'm not talking not so much about attorneys, but oftentimes, you know, that's a complaint I hear a lot of people regarding agents. And there are all kinds of agendas in the entertainment industry, and we pride ourselves at Kay and Mills in focusing exclusively on what's best for our client.
Because you're a boutique law firm, which is very important when you're first starting out, as well as when you get a little bit bigger, the loyalty. But, you know, I think that people who are, you know, about to move into the upper echelon really could benefit from your law firm. Because, look, you got Jessica, who focuses on publishing audiobooks
and trademarks.
Yeah.
So we do a lot of things all in support of our, you know, the creative efforts of our clients.
So let's bullet point all the things. You got Jessica doing boom, boom, boom.
Right. So her booms are publishing. She does audio. She does publishing laws where you have an agreement, then she can help you, you know, negotiate that agreement. She will actually, if on, you know, selected titles, go and sell books to the publisher themselves. She also has a very active and vital trademark practice where she'll, you know, provide trademark protection for your brand. We both do entertainment law, so we work in the area of motion picture, television, and also webisodes, films.
Webisodes. What about apps? You know, the new mode, like the Kardashian app. Do you guys, is that fall under the
ancillary revenue? I mean, we do have some clients. Yes, revenue? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so apps. So you think you're, you know, you can do an app. Like, if, for example, if you are an actor and you want to do teach people how to do voiceovers, you could create an app.
That's true.
And that's ancillary.
Thank
you. Ancillary income. Oh, wild turkey before the show.
It's very entrepreneurial.
Yes, you should. I mean, everybody has an app now.
Right.
And if you are recognizable and you become popular and you've got a lot of followers, I think it's time for an app. Can you help someone find someone to make an app?
Yes. But that's expensive.
Oh, it is.
More expensive than attorneys.
Not if you deal with people in India. My friend got an app, really good app done for 10 grand. Yes. But that's another story. So Kevin Mills, as you can tell, wonderful man, great law firm. Very sexy, very, but be careful. He's married. We can't be focusing on him too much. But the looks, believe me, they help. You don't want to be going looking at somebody cockeyed when you're trying to do a negotiating a deal. But he's a very nice man. I would highly recommend his law firm, kmills.com. Please give him a call over the holiday season. Yes. If not the beginning of the year, the beginning of the year. Thank you all so much for tuning in. We are going to have the lovely Kayla on our show next week. As you know, she is married to the lovely man from 24. You know what? I'm over. You're just going to have to go to the website and find out who's on next week. But after that, we will see you next year, where we've got a whole bunch of great casting directors. We got more entertainment attorneys coming on. We got celebrities coming on. It is full force ahead. So tune in next year for Question Reality. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You're listening to Question Reality with Priscilla Leona. right here on LA Talk Radio.